good morning. It's a real pleasure to be with you. I have to say, when I turned up,
let's get the mic on.
When I turned up here, just about 10 to 10, I had an absolute panic because I came into the church and it very much felt like they were singing the final hymn. And I just thought, I have missed the service that I was supposed to come to. But then realised in Anglican churches you do it properly. You have a number of services, unlike our free churches who just do one and a work part-time. But it's really great to be with you today. Hopefully on the screen should come up in a moment. A slide. Brilliant. So we're going to be thinking about life in all its fullness. Can I encourage you to have your Bibles open with you as we look at this together in the moments that I have? Let me take my watch off. Not that it means very much, but I will take it off to look like it means something. Just as life for you today in a school may be a world away from your everyday experience. It may be many, many years that some of us have been in a school. So, if I'm honest, is the life of a shepherd miles away from my experience and maybe yours too. The main contact I have with sheep and lambs, if I'm truly honest, and I'm sorry if I upset any vegetarians, is on a Sunday at lunchtime with mint sauce. But Jesus clearly here has some things he wants us to understand. Look at verse 1. He says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus underlining and highlighting and putting in bold. He's saying, I've got something here that's important that you need to hear. You see, the reality is often many of us have the wrong image of Jesus. And pictures like this don't often help. We have him as a kind of slightly effeminate kind of Dr. Doolittle figure hanging around with arms full of cuddly lambs. Is that what Jesus had in mind? That's what John had in mind as he recalled Jesus' words here in John 10? I don't think so. So let's explore some of these truths about the Good Shepherd together. First of all, a shepherd who calls his sheep by name. I have to be honest with you, I'm not a massive animal lover. I understand why you would name a dog, a cat, a rabbit, or even a guinea pig like my kids have. But naming sheep seems a bit strange to me. You know, you number sheep, you put a number or branding on them, but give them names. A flock of 100 sheep was huge by Eastern standards. Most flocks were about 10 or 20 in size. And the shepherd knew his sheep intimately. There was nothing the good shepherd didn't know about his flock. He could tell them apart because of their peculiar markings. And one shepherd was explaining this to a bemused friend who was surprised how well he knew each animal. He said, see that sheep over there? Notice how its feet toe in a little bit. Look at that one over there. It kind of walks slightly sideways. That one over there has a patch of wool just above its back. There's one with a black mark just under its eye. And that one closest to us has a little piece torn out of its ear. He knew them intimately by name. They weren't just sheep. They were Patch and Limpy and Blackie and Tag and Nosy and so on. One of the core values that Trinity School is built on is that we believe every person, every pupil is uniquely known and loved by God. And that they are special and they are created, and because of that they have infinite worth and value. And last year when we were setting up the school, one atheist dad came up at the end of one of our presentations and said, I don't believe in God, but I can't help be attracted by the fact that you say my daughter is unique and special and has infinite value. This is a message that people need to hear. You and I have a shepherd that know us by name, that know us intimately, the things that we're good at, our mistakes, our failings, the things that we never want anyone else to know. We have a shepherd who knows us at that level and loves us unconditionally. This is a shepherd that calls his sheep by name. And then secondly, this is a shepherd that leads the sheep out. And this is where the kind of one man and his dog image really lets us down again. A shepherd who kind of keeps the sheep protected and safe inside the pen doesn't help us when we think about this passage. Because that, frankly, is a Western image of a shepherd. The Eastern image is much more like this, a shepherd that is out ahead of his sheep, leading them into dangerous places, across difficult terrain, where there might be no water and no pasture. Long, tiring, dangerous journeys. That's the image that Jesus has here. The sheep of Jesus don't simply need feeding and protecting, but stretching and leading and steering. The rod that David, the shepherd, talks about in Psalm 23 is also for correcting and guiding and ensuring that the sheep move to where they need to get to. And my experience as a pastor over the last 13 years is that many of the sheep in VEC quite like to be safe and comfortable. Well, I believe Jesus here in this picture makes it clear that he longs for his sheep to lead a life of adventure and challenge and risk. And that's not easy. The sheep follow, as James has mentioned to us, because they know his voice. Let me just tell you one of my favourite stories from the whole of the Bible. In Matthew 14, it's probably entitled in your Bible, Jesus Walks on Water. Frankly, I think that's not the miraculous thing that goes on in that story. Jesus is the Son of God, perfectly divine. Jesus fed 5,000 people with a packed lunchbox. This was not a big deal that Jesus walked on the water. Peter walking on the water, I think, should be the title here. Most people think that Peter has a bad press. He's a kind of risk taker. He's a bit of a nutter, a bit of a type A kind of person. And, you know, he's always off on one. But in this story, there's an amazing thing that goes on. There's a question that Peter asks Jesus in Matthew 14. If you want me to come walk on the water, please call me, Peter asks Jesus. And Jesus says, come. So he follows. He follows the voice of his shepherd. He takes an amazing risk. And I picture it in my mind, in one of the most understated verses in the whole of the Bible, where it says, Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. I wonder what it must have been like. Did he just jump in? Did he prise off a finger at a time off the edge of the boat? What happened to the other 11 who were watching there open-mouthed as Peter got and walked on the water? He wasn't taking a risk, because he was simply following the voice of the shepherd, inviting him to come. If I may say this, I believe Trinity School is no more than just a few frightened people believing that the voice of the shepherd has called them to start something new, to go on an adventure, to take a few risks. And can I encourage you, because you as a church are part of that journey and part of that adventure. In the whole of this country, there is no other school like Trinity School that is backed by 27 churches of all kinds of flavours and shapes and sizes. And for me, it's a sign of the unity across the churches in this town that there's a unique school that started in relationship with those churches. I hope you're encouraged by that in the same way I am. Why has this school started? What is the shepherd saying to us now? Well, I believe in the local church. I wouldn't have done what I've been doing for the last 13 years if I didn't. But the local church has a problem. The number of people under the age of 20 in contact with the local church has diminished massively in the last 20 years. There are literally hundreds of teenagers in this town who haven't or will not set foot into a church in this town. And if you said to any church, including this one, every single year, I could guarantee you 120 11-year-olds that you wouldn't spend an hour with on a Sunday evening in a youth group, but you would have 40 weeks a year, 5 days a week, to be able to shape and speak the life of Jesus into. And there's no church in this country that wouldn't bite your hand off for that opportunity. I really believe that Trinity School is a mission opportunity. And if you read on in John 10 a little bit later, Jesus talks about, I need other sheep to come into this pen. I'm not content with the sheep that I have. And there's a fantastic mission opportunity at the heart of Trinity School. So many that already have come to the school don't know and have never encountered Jesus. And many will never set foot into a church. An increasing number only have one parent at home. So many have no father figure at all. There are a handful that come to Trinity School even now in this nice safe town where school is the only safe and ordered environment in the chaos of their lives. This is a fantastic opportunity to follow the voice of the shepherd. There are so many other voices out there saying so many other things to our young people. Whoops, let me just move on. So many other voices. Your value is based on your looks. Faith is for those who are deluded. If you don't pass your 11 plus, you're a failure. Some of these voices really penetrate deep into the hearts and minds of some of these young people. Maybe they rob us as well of the truth of the life that God wants to give us. I believe the voice of the shepherd has been speaking in regards to the setting up of this new school. And the voice of the shepherd has overcome so many obstacles, as I've already said. Let me, before I move on, bring these words back to you today. What is the shepherd saying to you? Where does he want to take you? Where does he want to disrupt your comfort, if I can say that in a nice way, and move you and lead you on so that you can be more like him? And are you willing to follow? Let's look at verse 6, because verse 6 I love. Verse 6 makes me feel encouraged because there's misunderstandings. The disciples simply don't get it. And I thought I'd put a 3 or 4 exam questions where children clearly have misunderstood, and they always make me chuckle. If you can't see the one on the bottom right, it says, why are there rings on Saturn? Because God liked it, so he put a ring on it. For those who know the Beyonce song, they will appreciate that. If you don't, ask someone under the age of about 30. But there's some real misunderstandings there about questions. Verse 6, they didn't understand. So then Jesus moves on. Let's look at verses 7 to 11 as we come to a close. Jesus then moves on, and he doesn't really kind of explain, but expand some of the things. He enters by the gate in verses 1 and 2. Now he is the gate. And the key point here is that salvation and rescue uniquely and only come through the person of Jesus. He is the sole means, Jesus tells us and John records, that people find salvation. There are no other secret doors. There are no other back doors or side gates. And only the finished work of Jesus brings us into that undeserved relationship, that rich life in all its fullness with God. Not through human work, not through going to church, not through our effort or being good or any other religious systems. Look at verse 9, because I love this verse. It's a great picture. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. What a great picture. A great picture. How would you define a full life? An abundant life. I wonder what your markers would be sitting here today. There's a contrast here. The thief, verse 10, comes to steal and kill and destroy. Some people think that might mean Satan. Others think, because of the context in chapter 9, that Jesus has in mind the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who have been leading people astray from God. I wonder if it's anything or anyone that narrows life, that seeks to shrink it from God's rich fullness. So let me just, as I come to a close, suggest 2 or 3 robbers of life that are around today and that some of these young people in Trinity School and ourselves have to battle with. Today I believe people are robbed of a full life by the secular agenda. Faith has been squeezed in most schools, not allowed to be mentioned. It marginalised on the edges of things. In Trinity School, faith is at the very heart of who we are. Unapologetically, Jesus is at the heart of who we are as a school. The secular agenda robs people, saying they're not spiritual. That part of who you are as a person needs to be pushed to the side. Today I believe people are robbed of full life by a consumer agenda. The value of someone is based on what they possess. Television commercials claim that the full life goes along with drinking a certain type of beer or possessing a certain type of car or wearing a certain type of trainer. You can't find a full life in a can of drink or on a pair of trainers or even in a six-figure salary, or even in a good education. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Today I believe people are being robbed as they seek human saviours, looking to live in their own strength by their own resources. They're robbed by trying to be self-sufficient. And sadly, people today are being robbed by a life of religion. of emptiness, of routine, of just doing the stuff with no heart. One of my drives as a chaplain, one of the things that attracted me to this role, is that I've seen many people, because of religion, put off the Jesus that I love with a passion that I know can change young people's and older people's lives. And I'm determined that religion will not put people off Trinity School. That Jesus will be the exuberant, loving, life-giving person that he really is. And I will encourage them and you to go on that adventure with him. All these things, I believe, dehumanize and destroy and shrink the fullness of life that God wants us to have. They rob us of the passion and distinctiveness. John 10:10 tells us that Jesus came to give life in all its fullness. A life for now, not just for heaven. That song's a brilliant song. For heaven and God's kingdom starts now in the life that we have each day. A rich and free life. Let's finish on verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He lays his life down for the sheep. Jesus achieved this amazing freedom for us through huge sacrifice. Do you know what? Grace confuses people. When we go and back backpacks, I take the group over each Wednesday afternoon, and they're desperate to give us something. We're just saying, we just want to express something of God's love. We want to serve you. And they literally, we've got people forcing £5 notes into the children's hands. They can't accept the fact that we just want to give them something out of the abundance of what God's given us. Obviously the children don't keep it, I make them put it in a charity tin, but that's a different story. But look at what happens here, verse 11. Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays his life down for the sheep. The true, authentic shepherd. That's the length that he's prepared to go for the sheep. Utterly committed to their life, their fullness of life, so committed that he would even give himself in our place. Jesus, the Lamb of God, sacrifice so that you and I can know the Good Shepherd intimately and know the full life that he brings. Jesus laid his life down in line with the Father's will so that others could know him. My heart is that you as a church, me as an individual, and you as an individual, wherever God's placed you, will do exactly the same so that others will come and know that full life for themselves as well. Let's pray together.